Hi, this is Anna Scheller, and you're listening to Black Belt Selling. Welcome to Black Belt Selling with Stephanie and Anna Scheller. I'm Anna.
And I'm Stephanie.
We are a mother-daughter team who are passionate about helping you grow your business through sales training and coaching. On Black Belt Selling, we bring amazing guests as well as amazing content to help you hone your skills. You know, black belts are not born overnight. You start out as a white belt, you go through all the colors, and even when you get your first black belt, you realize there's so much more to learn. So we're here to give you more information. We want to help you implement this information, because information that's not implemented is really just nothing but, I don't know, garbage. We don't want that. What we want for you is we want to help you become more proficient in sales and to see it as a journey. Now, you can learn more about us by going to our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/Black Belt Selling. There you can interact with us. You can interact with the phenomenal guests that we have on the show. More importantly, we post when these radio episodes go live. So you want to join us there, go to Black Belt Selling or go to facebook.com/Black Belt Selling and let's get to know each other. Now today is a content day. Today's a day, Stephanie and I were actually talking about what we wanted to share with you, and this is based on having a number of amazing guests. We've just kind of finished a whole thing about failure, about how to take failure and turn it into success. But I think today we want to kind of turn this around a little bit, and we want to talk about a topic that a lot of people are, it's starting to become a buzzword, but I don't want it to be a buzzword, Stephanie. I think it needs to become part of who we are, the fabric of sales, because sales is much more than a clever presentation, slides, and a pre-scripted close, right?
It is. And that's, you know, it's funny that you bring this up, because actually driving back here today, that was what I was thinking about, was, you know, what the heck is going on with sales today, where people seem to think sales is about these clever tricks and sales is about calling a bunch of people and like inundating and assaulting them, trying to get the deal. And that's not what sales is about. It's just like being a black belt is not about going out and trying to find people to beat up. Right?
Right.
Being a black belt is about so much more than that. And people forget, being in sales is about so much more than being in sales. It's about so much more than making deals and chasing people down. And it's definitely more than assaulting your potential prospect, because, okay, I'm going to stop, because man, we could go off here, but
right. You're
absolutely right. And I think emotional selling has definitely become that buzzword. It's just become, oh, it's the new fad thing to do.
Yeah.
It's so emotionally, and people are emotional beings, and woo.
Well, but it's not woo-woo. Here's the thing. Right. This is something, you know, we recently had Ben Gay the Third on. So Ben, if you're listening, hey, you got a shout out here on Black Belt Selling. But this is not something new. I think this is something that people are beginning to realize is an integral part of sales. Now, I ran across these statistics, and I thought they were very interesting, because we tend to break up sales into two categories. There's B2C, business to consumer, and there's B2B. So business to consumer, we tend to think a little bit more kind of fuzzy, warm, relationship building. And then B2B, we tend to think of as more logical. You know, we have to get to the decision maker. We have to build the relationships in order to get to the decision maker. But I found this interesting statistic that I think bears a lot on our ability to sell. So there's two kinds of value that people perceive. There's business value. That could be what is in the actual body of your sales presentation. Maybe it's the features or even the benefits that you offer. And when we're talking sales process, we talk a lot. When we help people who come to our sales training seminars, we help a lot of people distinguish between the features and the benefits. And the benefits are very much tied to emotion. But we tend to look at business to business, and we tend to look at business to business in light of, well, you know, because it's a business, it's going to tend to be a little bit more, less emotional, less about things people enjoy, and more about profit, more about numbers. But here's some statistics to be really, really thoughtful about. First of all, 48% of people who are in a business-to-business environment may want to buy, but they are afraid of risk. Okay, so they perceive the business value, but 48%, that's less than half, are afraid of the risk. Now, 74% will see the value, but again, so you're still looking at about two-thirds of those people are not going to move forward because they're afraid. They're afraid.
And rightfully so. I mean, if you think about it, there's a ton, this seems to be coming out of my mouth a lot lately, but there are a ton of scammers out there. There's a lot of people out there who aren't necessarily in it to take care of the customer. There's a lot of people who are in it to make money and not always make money at the best, in the best way for the customer. And so they have learned, you know, I've made purchases I've regretted. I guarantee you've made purchases you've regretted. And sometimes they really screw us over. I can think back to, you know, one very large purchase I made last year that really put me in a really bad position that I really regretted it. I didn't think I should make the decision. I did it anyhow, but we get taken advantage of. So yes, we're rightfully scared. We've all been there. And sometimes that fear gets placed on someone irrationally. You know, it's a similar situation. Oh my gosh, what happened? What if, what if, what if, what if, what if? And that's your job as a salesperson, is to help people get past that, I think.
Right. And, you know, keep in mind that it's not personal.
Right.
It's not personal at all. And the bigger the ticket item, the more time needs to be spent in the relationship building process. Now, moving along, one of the questions I get asked a lot is, you know, how do I maintain my price without having to discount? Because so many times we try to get the deal by discounting. And it's one practice I am eliminating from my business is I don't discount anymore. I might be willing to throw in a low-cost bonus, but that's a whole other conversation. Keep in mind that, remember, we're talking business value versus personal value. Business value tending to be more, more logical, more rational. Personal value being tending to be more emotional. So what they've discovered is that our presentations will have twice as much impact on someone who perceives personal value. That's a pretty good number. That says that they're going to listen to us more. They're going to be more inclined to consider the offering. But here's a really, really cool statistic, Stephanie, that I think people need to be aware of. And this gets back to the whole idea, how do I do this without discounting my price? Once people perceive personal value, once they see how it can benefit them, then they are 68%. That's over half of those people are more likely to purchase at a higher price. Why? Because they see value. They see value beyond what you're presenting as a commodity, whether it's a service, whether it's a product, whether it's a process. Mm-hmm. And 71% of people who see personal value are more likely to purchase across the board. So the sales process is still extremely important. We cannot, just because we're looking to make an emotional connection, we don't stop it in the middle and wait for all of the warm fuzzies to appear. What we're looking for is, it gets back to the whole idea, Stephanie, of value. The value that people are looking for, not the value we think they need. I think that's a place where we get lost. We think it's about what people what we think people want, and really it's about finding out what they need. Now, how do we do that in the sales process?
Well, and I do think, and I'll answer that question just a second, but I do think this is where a lot of people get the misconception that money is the issue. Money is the problem. Money is the objection. Because when they're not making, or when there is not the emotion to back it up, then yes, money does become a piece of it. So yes, occasionally, you know, people have come to me and said, well, Stephanie, my quote is all about the pricing. And I'm like, ah, I bet it's not. First of all, it never is. But second of all, I mean, I literally, even with the government, it's not all about the price. It's not. There's all sorts of other stuff that comes into play. But that aside, it comes down to price when there's not enough emotion there. Which actually brings us to a couple of our points here on how do we do this whole emotional selling thing.
Exactly. So let's step back through the sales process really quickly here.
Yeah.
First of all, we start with lead generation. That's a whole topic Stephanie and I will talk about another time. As a matter of fact, I think that's probably a 2 or 3 episode, just because a lead generation, we're always looking for more people to talk to, right?
Right.
Moving on, we're getting to setting the appointment. Then we move into trust and rapport. And trust and rapport is not just a step to get to the sale, guys, okay? Trust and rapport is something that we develop all through the relationship. And we do it not only by the way we talk, not only by paying attention and looking at them. We do it a lot by asking questions and listening.
Yeah.
Listening.
No, it was funny at this event I went to last week. She said, I want you guys to write down the word listen. Okay, and then I want you to write down, so those of you guys who have pen and paper, I want you to grab it real quick. You're listening to the recording, so you can pause this if you need to. Write down the word listen, okay? Write it down, L-I-S-T-E-N. And then right below it, I want you to write down the word silent, S-I-L-E-N-T. And notice what these two words have in common.
Whoa. I didn't even have to write that down.
Right. I know. I didn't either. But we don't think about that. You know, Nigel Green, one of our guests last year, he said we confuse listening with giving them space to talk. And it's true. And we sit here and so many times, you know, it's kind of like the harped on concept in sales training. You have to listen. You have to listen. You're given 2 ears and 1 mouth, blah, 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 blah. Okay, look, I'm half Italian. It's hard for me to listen, regardless. But on top of that, we hear it all the time. It becomes kind of like that voice in the background that just, you know, constantly talking. Yeah, wah, 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 wah. And this is what I heard when mom was homeschooling me. I mean, not really. she's giving me dirty looks over there. But truthfully, we do. And listening is such a big part. You have to build the trust and rapport, but you have to identify what their needs are, and you're going to get both of them if you just listen to what the other person has to say. I mean, it's really that simple.
And again, we have to make it really clear, and it never ceases to amaze me how important it is that we have to talk about this, because I was recently struggling through some issues, and I got taken back to the basics on some things, Stephanie. And the bottom line is that sometimes we just have to go back to the basics. As black belts, in order to progress, I'll tell you what, every time we go into a new training of black belts, new training, what do? We don't focus on the jumping sides and the flying this and the 360 that. We go back to the basics. It's all about honing in the basics. And there's nothing more basic than how to listen to your customer. You know, Ben Gay III talked a lot about that. Again, you know, he's iconic, but the guy's been in sales a long time. And there are certain things, there are things that have changed. Lead generation tactics have changed. But listening to your customer and listening, like you said, Stephanie, you said it. Listening is not making space for them to talk. Listening is actually trying to interact with them and learning more about them. Because here's the thing, let's jump right here to the emotional selling piece. If you're doing the talking, we already know, if you're talking, then you're not selling. What you have to do is get below the conscious level, to even where the customer's not even aware of what their needs are. You letting them talk, you letting them share, you letting them find out, or you finding out what their deepest need is. And this is going to take patience. This doesn't happen with the first three questions. Let me tell you, you have to be prepared to go 4, 5, maybe even 6 questions deep and listen. And that active listening piece which is, you know, I'm hearing you say this. Did I understand that right? And then you give them the opportunity, because they're going to, when you listen, they're going to get below the subconscious level. And Stephanie just got back from an amazing conference in Phoenix, Scottsdale, Arizona. Mm-hmm. Share some of the research that talks about the power of the subconscious to help us make decisions.
So it's been really interesting. So we do these TTI assessments. I use them with my clients. We use them for hiring. We use them for team building. We use them for leadership development. We use them for selling. Like, these assessments are genius. And it's a communication. It's a full-blown personality assessment. So it talks about what are your behaviors, but it also talks about what's underneath the surface. What is it that motivates your behaviors? And so these assessments, they take anywhere between 30 and 60 minutes to complete the assessment. It's quite lengthy, and these assessments can go into everything from how do you communicate, what behaviors are you strong at, what skills are you competent at, what are you motivated by, what is your EQ, all of these items, and super, super detailed. And one of the things they've been doing over there is they have actually a whole team dedicated to the research side. And so this entire team they're sitting there and they put like electrodes on people's heads and have them take the assessments. And what they have found is that just by watching how the brain lights up when the question pops up on the screen and when they look at different pieces of the question, they can actually predict how that person is going to answer the question 100% accurately 90% of the time. So it's 4 options, right? Usually you're ranking them 4 or 6 different things. And just by how the person looks at the screen and how their brain lights up, 90% of the time they will accurately predict 100, like they will say this one's going to go 1, this one's going to go 2, this one's going to go 3, this one's going to go 4. 90% of the time they're 100% accurate. I know I had to repeat that because that's a lot of stats and it's confusing. But your brain, the guy stood at the front of the room, right? And he goes, all right, so I'm a scientist and I'm always debating this concept of free will. Do we really have free will, or do we just do what our brain tells us to do? And I'm beginning to think, after doing all these studies, we just do what our brain tells us to do.
Well, I agree with that to a point. I also agree that our past experiences affect our subconscious. That's why it's so important to do things as you're preparing for sales. I just recently read something about visualization. This is so important. Oh gosh, you have to listen, because visualization is more powerful than we believed. There's a guy named, you may have heard of him, kind of like an Olympic swimmer. His name is Michael Phelps. And I love to tell the story.
He's not famous or anything.
He's not famous, no. Michael Phelps would sit at the edge of the pool. This is what a coach had him do. So if you're coaching me and Stephanie, don't be surprised if we make you do something like this. But he is Michael Phelps. He sat at the edge of the pool every time, and he visualized what it would feel like. I mean, down to how his skin would feel, what he saw when he would go into the water. And what happened in the Olympics in Australia, when he dove into the water, his goggles dropped below his eyes. So he was blind in the water. But because he had visualized his entire swim beforehand, he finished. Not only did he finish, he broke a world record by 7/10 of a second. Mm-hmm. I mean, imagine that. The guy was blind in the water. Now, if that works for somebody who is in the water, doesn't that work for us? See, we're already programming ourselves. Now, that we're not to take away, but it's just to help you understand that your customer is also conditioned by a visualization, and you can help them visualize something different and something new.
Well, and I want to point out that this is actually, we've been kind of dancing around this. Guys, this does not happen by accident. Think about how much time goes into learning the sales process, practicing the sales process, repeating it again and again, visualizing, you know, before you walk into your presentation. I know sales reps who kind of wing it, and I am so guilty of the same issue where I just walk into the sales presentation and I'm like, let's just go. When I have slowed down to take time to think through the presentation, I make more money. I make more sales when you slow down to do this right. So big one, ask questions, listen. The other one is, it kind of in response to that, you have to be able to watch your prospect and respond to them. And yeah. So I brought this up a couple times. I was recently doing some work with someone who was making cold calls, and I would listen to her making these calls. And I just remember one conversation where literally she had one conversation, the person on the other line had another conversation, and they were pausing, you know, so she would talk and then she would pause and the other person would talk, but they were not having the same conversation, like not even a little bit. It was bad. And it was because this, my client was so caught up in the script that she couldn't wrap her head around listening to what this other person was saying and responding. So this other person goes, oh yeah, he's out sick. And she goes, okay, so can I call tomorrow for him? It's like, no, the response needs to be so, okay, so, or no, he's out on personal leave, sick days or whatever. And it sounded more like it was like a surgery or like out for a long period of time, not like, hey, can I call tomorrow type of thing. And so you have to listen to the prospect, respond to the prospect. Don't get so caught up in your scripts that you take the emotion, because scripts are not emotional, are they?
No, they're not. Keep in mind, though, that if you understand your script can be adapted. I think some of the greatest actors, I think, oh my gosh, there was a movie where we were watching and somebody added some unscripted stuff, but it was so in character and it fit. And it was a comedic piece. But it worked. And the thing is the script is not there to chain you. The script is there to free you mm-hmm. to be present. Because our last point here is you have to recognize the right time to close.
Yeah.
It isn't always appropriate to rush somebody through the process. You have to be in sync with your customer to know. Right. And if there's a break in rapport, you have to kind of step back and go, okay, you know, I don't think we're on the same page right now. So let's kind of step back a few minutes. Like you're the person you're talking about. What if she had done that?
Right. Just take a second back and just listen. And I kept bumping her and I'm like, listen. she's looking at me. She's like, what? And I was just like, all right, okay, this isn't working. But you, if you're not relaxed, if you're not listening, for when the emotion hits. You know, I had a deal yesterday that I closed. And I remember I was listening to this woman's voice. It was just over the phone. And I'm listening to her voice, listening to her start to get emotional. And you could hear the little hiccup. And I knew I'd hit the right moment, because when I actually went into the close and I started talking to her, she starts crying because she was like, this is exactly what I've been looking for. Mm-hmm. Literally over the phone starts crying. You got to listen for that emotion. If I'd started to close too early or I waited past that point of emotion, there's a good chance I would have lost the sale. So these all come together, I think. It becomes follow the process, listen, respond, know when to sell. It all kind of wraps up into this great little bundle.
Exactly. And here's the thing. Are you struggling with this? Is this an area that you have trouble with? Well, you know what? All you got to do, go over to that Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/BlackBeltSelling. Ask to join. And then once you're in the group, contact me or Stephanie and say, hey, I really could use help with this area. I'm a little unsure. You know what? Stephanie and I love to help people. And so we want to help you. Get in that group, facebook.com/groups/BlackBeltSelling. Also know we do live events where we help people in person. Mm-hmm. So we would love, but we're not going to try to sell you on anything. We just want to help you. We want to help you grow. And so any last words? I know we've got to wrap this up right now. So what's the last thing you want to say, Stephanie?
You know, the last thing I would just say is this: selling is one of the toughest jobs out there. It is every day. It can be incredibly brutal if you do not learn to truly love what you do. And one of the best ways you're going to learn to love what you do is if you learn to connect emotionally with these people that you're talking to, because we as human beings, we crave that connection. So, you know, hop in the group and you know what, do us a favor, post your question in the group. Let us keep some ideas in the group to help you out. And this way, not just you can learn, because I guarantee if you're thinking a question, five other people are thinking the exact same question. You're just the only one bold enough to say it. So facebook.com/groups/blackbeltselling. Join us. We love to have you guys. It's a great group of people. In the meantime, I just want to remind you guys, selling may be tough, but black belts are tougher. I'm Stephanie here for Anna. We are the Black Belt Sellers of Southwest and Central Texas. Make it a great week.